Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, tune into 102.5 The Game today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Tennessee with pregame at 5:45 p.m. and first pitch at 6. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. And speaking of that game, Mitch Light of The Athletic joins us now to break it all down. Now, Mitch, first of all, it was great to see you at the Vandy game on Tuesday night. It was great to see you actually face-to-face. We get to talk so much on the phone, but actually got to see each other in person. This is a question for both you and Willie. And I know that once we get to this point of the season, we're looking ahead to the NCAA tournament. We're looking ahead to seeding of potentially being a host. So obviously this weekend and next weekend and every single game is important for Vanderbilt baseball in those terms. But also, how important is it for Vanderbilt baseball, who, like, baseball's been the thing, to beat Tennessee baseball?
I'll start first. Obviously, it's important. I'd say it's more important now. Put aside the stakes of the game, I'd say it's more important now because of Tennessee's recent success against Vanderbilt. Is it seven straight, two sweeps, plus a win in the SEC tournament? I think if both teams are playing well and are both ranked and both, obviously Vanderbilt's not ranked right now, both headed to the tournament, it doesn't, each team wants to beat the other team, but both schools have, at this point where their programs are, have higher goals. But this year, with the way Vanderbilt's struggling and the recent struggles against Tennessee, I think it makes it more important, adds more pressure. This would be a high-pressure series no matter what because of where Vanderbilt is right now, but the fact that it's Tennessee adds to that.
I would concur with Mitch, and I would also say that in the new world that we live in that is now, in its second real year, and people are just now adapting, Tennessee, like most of their teams, has dove into transfer portal, NIL, the mix of all of it. I think Tim Corbin really does cherish the traditional model of recruit and develop people, keep it intact, but it's harder and harder to do. We talked about John Calipari at Kentucky. He loved the one and done. He loves having guys that go on to the NBA, but it's becoming harder to win doing it that way because college athletes are older and you have the ability to shuffle your roster a lot from year to year. I think Tim Corbin loves the continuity. I think Tennessee has embraced the modern game where it's a lot more fluid. There's a lot more winners and losers on your enormous fall roster, right? You bring everybody in and you see who the best is. I mean, there's different ways of going about it, but I think it's two very distinct, different models right now, and I think that's where the battle is going, and I think that's part of the backdrop when these two teams play, especially when they're recruiting a lot of the same kids in the state. Fair to say,
yeah,
Mitch?
I will say real quick, this Tennessee, especially the lineup, is most of it's homegrown. Tennessee has done a good job in the portal last couple of years. Obviously, Billy Amick, the third baseman, the big power hitter from Clemson. They've had great success bringing in some arms in the portal. Chase Dollander, to the prime example there. But, guys like Christian Moore, Blake Burke, Kavaris Sears, they've done a good job developing their own bats, too, at Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, and you have to have that. Like, you can't have a roster full of all transfers. You can't succeed that way, but it's a blend. And I think that isn't it fair to say, Mitch, that Tennessee, for years before Vitello got there, was losing most of the key battles. If Vanderbilt and Tennessee were going after the same kid, Vanderbilt was getting that kid because they had been winning and Tennessee was down.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that.
Which I think even adds to all of the layers that we're going to see with this series coming up this weekend. Mitch Light is with us, The Athletic. Mitch, do you think that Tim Corbin's style of building a roster can still win championships in this era?
Yeah, I do. Corbin's had four transfers this year. It's not like he's totally turned his back on the transfer. They were very in it with Paul Skeens a couple years ago. But I don't know why anyone, Caroline, would choose LSU, but
yeah,
that's another
really
topic.
Who wants to win championships?
Brandon Montgomery, yeah.
What was
the
he
outfielder
thinking?
From Texas A&M, was visited Vanderbilt as well. So they have clearing Jaden Davis, starting second baseman, who unfortunately got hit in the face by a pitch a couple weeks ago and is out, was a transfer from Samford and is Vanderbilt's leading hitter in SEC play. But to your point, to your question, Caroline, yes, people are going to look at this Vanderbilt team and the relative struggles this year and say they can't win this way, Tim Corbin this and that. And this sounds like an excuse, and you can take it as an excuse, but it's a combination of a lot of factors. You look back to the recruiting class from 2 years ago, the guys that would be juniors this year, there were three hitters, very good hitters in that prospects, who they thought they could get one or two definitely through the draft. I'm not talking about like the Andrew Jones top five picks who no shot of getting. These are like fringe first rounders, second, third rounders. And three guys they thought they had a chance of getting through all signed. So they were kind of left with a roster with some holes there, and they've had some key injuries. So, like, it's a little bit of everything. Again, not trying to make an excuse. Tim Corbin does not need me to make any excuses for him. And a couple guys like Davis Diaz and Jack Bolger, who were big recruits and got through, they've had fine college careers, but they haven't been the stars that we've seen from Vanderbilt. So I don't think that, like, the game, the model has passed Vanderbilt by any stretch.
And you pointed out, Mitch, you feel like there is some adapting, right? I think I read something earlier this year that some of what they do NIL-wise is across the board to the roster. Did I read that right? There's sort of a base level that they're getting a lot of their players, and then obviously there's other opportunities for any individual, right?
Yeah, and they got through. They got some of their current freshmen right now. Who are kind of in that same area of the guys I mentioned a couple years ago, they were able to get them through because of some NIL opportunities. So we'll see going forward, you know, if that helps them build the roster some more. So it just college baseball, and you guys, I know, Caroline, you love sports. It's a unique sport. The way you build your roster, the way you draft, you sign guys out of high school, you sign 15 guys, and the better you recruit, the more, you know, the more it could hurt your recruiting class because you lose those guys to the MLB draft. So it's unique. It's different from all the other sports. Teams don't, and especially with the portal, as we've talked about, the rosters, there's so much change from year over year. You see a team like Georgia this year, didn't make the field last year, the regional last year. New coach, we hit the portal very hard. Great lineup, and they beat South Carolina last night. They're heading to a national seed. So there's quick turnarounds in college baseball.
All right, so Mitch, let's look at this weekend's matchup. Tennessee comes in at number one. They're playing really well. Vanderbilt has been a much better team at home than on the road, which seems to be a trend right now, especially within the league. Only the elite teams able to win on the road. That is a big thing. If I'm the committee, I'm looking at for sure. So what about this matchup? How do these two teams go down?
One stat that really intrigued me as I dove in looking at these numbers. You know, you think Tennessee, the first thing you think of is their lineup, and rightfully so. But they're like second or third in the SEC in ERA. So I was looking at they're in SEC play. This shocked me. They've allowed more hits than innings pitches as staff. They don't have the elite frontline starter. Like even Drew Beam, who had a great freshman year 2 years ago, has given up more hits than innings in the league. One thing they do, though, they don't walk anyone. League low 59 walks, which is huge. So, you hear coaches say, you throw strikes, you got a chance. So this Tennessee team might not – I'm not saying they don't have good pitching. They do, but they might not blow you away with pure stuff, but they don't walk anyone. And the problem for Vanderbilt is, in SEC play, they're second to last in walks. So we know they're trouble – hitting the balls, you know, they hit a lot of doubles. They don't hit a lot of home runs, and they don't walk a lot. So that's something to watch this weekend. Can Vanderbilt be more patient at the plate? But the problem is showing patience at the plate, you can be down 0-2 because these guys throw strikes. But as far as the matchup, obviously Vanderbilt needs to keep Tennessee's lineup in check. It's some, you know, Christian Moore, everyone's talking about Charlie Condon's having an amazing season. If you look at SEC-only stats, Christian Moore is not far behind. I think he might actually be leading the league in hitting. So that's something to watch. And another thing I'll say, keep rambling on, is Vanderbilt's good players need to play well. You know, Bryce Cunningham tonight and Carter Holton are very, very talented pitchers who have pitched better at home. At their best, they're good enough to limit this Tennessee team to two or three runs. But when they're not at their best, which we saw Cunningham last week and Holton last week, they don't find the strike zone, they give up the three-run homer, they're not good enough. So that, to me, is the key. Can Vanderbilt's frontline starters pitch well?
How do you think this Tennessee lineup matches up with the last couple of years when they were, you know, getting a lot of a lot of accolades, but these are a lot of different guys. Like, already some of the hitters that they've had the last couple of years have made it to the big leagues, right? I just saw another one the other night. The kid, he's now playing for Colorado. Jordan Beck just got called up. Fleming has already got up. Trey Lipscomb has already made it to the bigs. I mean, there's some of these guys have really ascended quick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this time's better. It might have more depth, and it's dangerous. You know, this is been a ton of home runs this year. Been a ton of home runs the last few years. But you know, look at their lineup. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys with at least 14 home runs in their lineup. So there's no easy outs. Every starter, pretty much, except for Hunter Ensley, is hitting over 310. So they're just a lot of depth. There's no let up in that lineup. The one thing I will say, though, is they have not, and, you know, I would say with the elite teams, and this is the number one team in the country, so, you know, you're trying to poke holes. Their offense hasn't been exactly on fire of late. You know, the last two games of the Missouri series, they scored three runs. Lipscomb, they score 6 runs. They lose that game. They only scored 6 runs against Queens College the other day. Florida held them in check and won a couple games. So, you know, maybe this is a breakout. I think a lot of it's – I've noticed this year going to the Hawk a lot. To me, the wind has been more of a factor than in recent years. I'm not is it because of the stadium, the football stadium construction? I don't think so. But I've seen some games this year where there's been more wind-aided home runs than ever. So it seems like a nice day today. I don't know what the wind's going to be, but if you're Vanderbilt, you want to see those flags blowing in, not out tonight.
Okay. Well, they called Jordan Beck by his government name, Mike Concho.
Mike Concho, yes. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right, this is I don't want to strike a chord with Tennessee fans here, but remember 2 years ago there was the whole bat checking thing. Tennessee came in and got a very statement making 3-game sweep at the Hawk, and they checked the bats and all of that stuff. You just alluded to it, Mitch. Across the board, I don't know about college baseball as a whole, but definitely SEC. I'm seeing some very live bats, a lot of home runs. I know the hitters are bigger, stronger, all of that stuff, but I just wonder if the bat issue in college baseball, remember when Vanderbilt won it a decade ago in 2014, they had it. It was not just the bats,
sport.
But the ball. Yeah. Balls weren't going out at all. It made for a very different game than we're seeing today. Today's game is resembling a little more than the college game that I was involved in the 90s before they had any checks on the bats, and the bat was just extremely lively. So where are they in all that?
Yeah, I don't know the specifics. I think it's as much the ball as it is the bat with the seams in recent years. You know, I think it's very difficult to police the bats. You know, I don't want to relitigate all that from a couple years ago because I don't want to speak out of turn because I really don't know what the deal is there. But I think it's the ball as well. And I know there's some people that really love the sport too, like Aaron Fitt, the guys at D1 Baseball. If you listen to their podcast, he'll talk about it a lot. It's like he doesn't like it. A lot of people don't like this. Now, some people do love it, think it's great. I like all sorts of baseball,
right.
But I will say that the baseball from the mid-2010s, when, you know, Vanderbilt won the College World Series in 14, that was not the most entertaining. You go back and you look at the College World Series and where some of those outfielders were positioned, like in center field, seems like, you know, 20 yards beyond the infield. I think they need to find a happy medium. Like last night's game, I watched a decent amount of South Carolina and Georgia. Well, yeah, it's fun to watch those guys, but do you want to see a 14-10 game?
I don't.
On Friday?
I'm just going to raise my hand. I don't.
Right.
And I didn't like pitching in those games back in the day either, but I also don't think that is a great brand of baseball.
I agree. And that's supposedly the Friday night game. I know it's Thursday night, but when you've got your better pitching. You know, fine on a Sunday, we know the staff's you know, are depleted. You might have some guys out there and you see some wild scores on Sunday, but give me like a 6-4 game on a Friday night. So, you know, I think the sport is growing, the popularity, all that, but I do think they need to find a happy medium with the home runs.
I did start a game at the old McGugan Field, pre-Hawk, as the starting pitcher against South Carolina. We lost 21-1.
Oh.
I took the L.
Well,
it's probably because the reliever. Right?
I just didn't get any run support. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
Right, Willie, walk out. Guys, you give me one run, I'm going to get you this W today. So.
That didn't go well.
Willie's doing his part. Okay?
I still have nightmares about that game.
He only gave up 3 touchdowns.
I only gave up about 7 of the runs, okay? But I was out of there in the second inning.
Only one touchdown. Last one from me, Mitch. Mitch Light from The Athletic is with us. And I don't want to upset the Vanderbilt fans in the room, but let's be honest. When Vanderbilt hosts Tennessee, a big majority of the stadium is orange. This past season, when Vanderbilt hosted Tennessee basketball, a big portion of Memorial Coliseum was orange. Is there a different feeling when it comes to baseball, the sport that just, it's been Vanderbilt. It's been Vanderbilt's thing. Is there a different sentiment toward making sure that the Hawk is not predominantly orange?
Yeah, well, I think it's the logistics, first of all. Like the Hawkins Field is sold out for season tickets on the infield.
Yeah.
So it's not like in football and basketball, there are just tons of tickets out there for the taking. Now, there'll definitely be some Tennessee fans there. So in the infield, right. They got friends, you can go online, you can buy them. But it's not like someone could just say, I want to buy 10 tickets in the infield. Now, the outfield, I don't know what the season ticket sales in the outfield are. I know they sell some. I would suspect there'll be a good portion of Tennessee fans in the outfield. But as long as like a huge majority of Vanderbilt fans didn't sell their season tickets, there'll still be, I think a majority of Vanderbilt fans inside in the infield. But it's definitely changed in a few years. You know, really, 10 years ago, you go to a Vanderbilt Tennessee baseball game, and it was like put it this way, there would be more LSU fans at a Vanderbilt LSU baseball game than a Vanderbilt Tennessee, than Tennessee fans at a Vanderbilt Tennessee game.
I know of at least one Tennessee fan that will be there for whatever that's worth. Mitch Light from The Athletic. Mitch, appreciate you for stopping by. Enjoy the games this weekend. Have a great weekend, and we will catch up with you soon.
All right. Take care. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Mitch. Mitch Light from The Athletic. Willie, will you make it to any games this weekend?
Yes. Awesome. I will be at least
be
one
fun.
Of them. Yeah.
It'll be a blast.
I will be paying close attention.
I hope you have more fun at your Tennessee series than I had at the LSU Tennessee series. That wasn't fun. All right, let's take it to the bank. Coming up next, Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.